How's it going, Dirk Teal? Joe told him, The Resistance is pleased to have Lorica on board. We know her reputation, of course.
Oh, does she have a reputation? Mattis asked, matching Lorica's disinterest.
Joe told Mattis that she did indeed and went into details, once again telling Mattis things he already knew. Joe seemed immune to sarcasm.
He knows, Joe, Lorica said, cutting him off. He told me who I was a few times when we got here.
I was just surprised. I figured you'd have joined the Resistance ages ago, Mattis said to Lorica. I mean, you being you.
Being me?
She said as if it were an insult. Lorica was brought in the same way you were, most likely, Joe said, though probably the recruiters had to work a little harder to dig you up, Mattis.
My reputation preceded me, I guess, Lorica said. Joe was sent down to talk to me.
She lowered her eyes when she mentioned Joe. It made Mattis feel intrusive and jealous for some reason. Lorica was a natural fit for the Resistance. I could tell in just the few times we spoke that she'd be a good soldier.
Already done some damage to some bad guys, Mattis said, nodding.
She has discipline, Joe corrected him. The things we talked about. It'll take more than well-placed bombs to take down the First Order. You'd do well to follow Lorica's lead. I'll see you both at sunrise. With that, Joe about-faced and stalked out of the yard.
He's got a lot to prove, Lorica shook her head. Is that true? Why?
She glared at him.
I don't know, she said. I just know how people are.
Mattis stuck up his hands innocently.
Okay, he said. You know him better than I do. I don't know anyone.
Mattis didn't know what to say in response, so he took in the yard. He might as well get used to it. He'd be there for the foreseeable future. He looked for the birds, but didn't spot any of them. He realized his focus had drifted when Lorica broke the silence.
Did you really break into General Leia's rooms?
Mattis stumbled back a few steps.
Those were General Leia's rooms? He said.
Deck had been more reckless than Mattis had known.
The General's quarters? It was a wonder Admiral Ackbar hadn't court-martialed them, if court-martialing was something they even did there.
Maybe he was lucky they didn't.
Lorica was still staring at him.
I didn't, he stammered. I mean, yes, not me, Deck did. I just kept watch. I mean, I just got here. You saw me get here. You just got here. I mean,
you're going to be so much trouble, aren't you? There was menace, but also a smile in her voice.
Not if I can help it, he sighed.
Can I ask you a real honest question?
Lorica consented.
Do you know if the Resistance has bathrooms? I haven't seen any, and I've never needed one more.
That made Lorica laugh.
Follow me, she said.
They left the yard. Lorica led him to a row of doors, each with a symbol of a drop of water on it.
Any more questions?
Did you always know you were going to be a hero? Don't push it, she told him, and then pointed. Barracks are that way, mess hall's over there. Past that, you're on your own. See you at sunrise, Dirk Teal. Mattis was exhausted. He made his way back to his bunk directly. His rucksack was where he'd left it, and he saw that someone had claimed the bottom bed.
Meth friend!
Clemo, the enthusiastic Rodian, chirruped. He leaped up and smacked Mattis hard on the back.
I knew that was your bag. I found it! It took some looking, but I found it. We're bunkmates, best friends. This will be so exciting. So much adventure for us.
Clemo pushed Mattis down on the empty bunk and laughed loudly.
Tell me all about your life. We'll stay up all night as best friends do. Is it true that you broke into the general's rooms?
Chapter 4 Mattis awoke in the dark, thrumming. It was nearly dawn and he was ready for a real first day. After the day before, he felt he had something to prove and he was ready to prove it. He knew he could make a difference to the Resistance. If he had to follow Joe's orders to the letter, then that's what he'd do. And he'd make Lorica like him while he did it. Mattis slid out of his bunk quietly, eager to head down to the yard. No sooner had he put his feet to the floor, though, than the light snapped on and Clemo rolled out of his bunk in a pile of limbs and noise.
Today's our first day, he shouted.
Mattis nodded.
Yep, that's right, he said, demonstrating acceptable volume.
Should we go to the yard? Should we be early for first day training, Mattis? Do you want to race there?
Mattis lit up with an idea.
Sure, he said. I'll race you.
He slipped into his boots, then said, ready, set, go. Klimo bounded from the bunk, a nasal shriek like a disappearing siren following him out into the base. Mattis laughed to himself and followed, walking. Klimo would win the race, and Mattis would have a few moments to himself before training began. When Mattis arrived at the yard, Klimo was waiting for him, hands on his knobby knees, panting.
Hoo boy, best friend, you gave me a run for my credits.
Lorica Damaris was already there and laughed at Klimo's jovial chumminess with Mattis. Some of the other squad members laughed, too. The yard wasn't bare as it had been the night before. Someone, probably Joe, had woken early to set up what looked like an elaborate obstacle course. The room was divided into corridors via sturdy-looking barricades. Every few meters, a large metal door was affixed between them. Two sentry droids methodically monitored the makeshift corridors. The squad that fell under Joe's command was a varied crew. Besides Lorica and Klimo, there was a pair of round-headed, tusked, aquilish boys. One was tall and gangly, and the other was short and pudgy. There was a human girl who wore an insignia from the planet Ganthal. Mattis would have to be wary of her. Core planet natives were usually aristocratic snobs. Mattis suspected Joe was also from the Core, what with his superior attitude and fanatical rule-following. A brown and white-furred, stick-thin alien girl with a dog snout hung around Lorica, who paid her little mind. Another kid Mattis took for a human around his age removed his cap, and Mattis saw two blunt horns sticking out of his shaggy black hair. Mattis had been right. Everyone had heard of Lorica. Everyone on the squad was looking at her, though nobody was making eye contact. Her name bubbled to the surface of every quiet conversation. She pointedly ignored it. Joe cleared his throat and addressed them all. My name is Joe Gergerod. I'm your squad leader. My contempt for the First Order is absolute. You want to be fighter pilots. Some of you will be. It's important for the next days and weeks and months that you learn your part in the resistance. Every one of you, everyone on this base has a role to fulfill. With my help, you will fulfill yours to the fullest. A positive energy overtook the group, and they all drew a bit closer to one another. Where's Hansen? Joe asked, looking directly at Mattis.
I don't know. Why would I know?
You were the last to have eyes on me, Bands, that's why.
Deck hailed him as he, A.G., and Sari walked in.
Gergerod, I know you're a stickler for time, but this session isn't supposed to start until the crack of dawn, and
dawn hasn't cracked yet.
How long till the dawn cracks, A.G.?
Couple of seconds after I finish saying this.
So, about now then? Deck asked, smirking as if it were his job.
A.G. made a sound like he was sucking teeth he didn't have with air he didn't breathe.
No, you missed it.
We're on time,
Sari said, winking at Mattis. Deck approached with the other two flanking him like a formation of X-Wing fighters attacking an enemy base.
Everyone ready to get started? He asked.
He grinned openly at Mattis. Mattis looked away. Fall in with the squad, Joe said sharply. Deck bobbed his head coolly and stood by the aquilish boys, who grunted. Mattis didn't know what the grunts meant, nice to meet you, or go away, but Deck didn't seem to mind them either way. He laughed like they'd told a joke, then noticing Lorica, Deck exclaimed,
Hey, you're Lorica Damaris!
Lorica winced. Sari looked impressed. A.G. didn't.
I thought you'd be redder, the droid said.
Joe ran his 11 charges through training exercises. Mattis had heard stories of how the Empire used to punish and torture people. None of that sounded so bad compared with the resistance training. Every part of Mattis burned, tingled, and wanted to fall off. He had never sweated with such purpose. To his credit, Joe joined in on every exercise of the seeming thousands he asked of his squad. Every second set was push-ups. A.G. did the exercises as well, for solidarity.
The only good thing Mattis could say about the training was that he was pleased to get it all out of the way on the first day. It felt like they had done enough to last each of them an entire lifetime. After the pudgy, aquilish boy fainted, Joe finished the session for the day, promising that it would come to be everyone's favorite morning ritual in the months that followed. Mattis hated that idea so much. Mattis cheered right up, though, when Joe told them the next part of training was a war game. Each of you will be given an assignment designed to accentuate your strengths and your role in this squad. Your goal is this map. Joe held up a small piece of scrap metal.
That's not a map, Klimo said.
Pretend it's a map, Joe ordered.
Aye, aye,
Klimo saluted. Mattis didn't take his eyes from Joe. He wanted to be a good soldier. He wondered what role Joe would find for him in the training exercise. Joe dictated positions to some of the others, transport, code breaking on the security locked doors, and he told Lorica she'd be mission leader. She nodded confidently. Joe told Mattis, you're the lookout. Hang back, make sure the sentry droids don't catch you all in action. Think you can handle that? That made Deck laugh.
Bands can handle that all right, Chief.
Joe glared at Deck.
You'll be Mattis's cohort. Stay two steps behind him. AG-90, your job is to disarm those sentry droids should they discover any of you.
AG drawled,
aye, aye.
Finally, Joe said, some of those security locks aren't going to be cracked. Which is where you come in, Sari. You're the muscle. Knock those doors in. Sari's eyes narrowed.
I can slice the codes on those doors.
Joe shook his head. You're the muscle, Sari. Look at you. Deck piped up.
Chief, Sari's a genius. She can slice her way into anything.
I'll second that, AG said. Ain't the point to be clandestine?
That's not the exercise, Joe said tightly.
You want muscle? Flex for him, AG.
Deck prodded his brother, who put his metal arm up in imitation of a flexing motion.
You tell a door I'm coming, AG said. It starts shaking on its hinges. Let me add a door.
Mattis felt his neck get hot. Joe's the squad leader, he mumbled. He didn't mean to mumble it. He meant to say it with confidence. Deck heard him anyway.
You heard Bands. Joe's the leader,
Deck chided at the volume Mattis intended.
Are you really causing discord in my squad? Joe asked Deck. So soon after getting on Admiral Akbar's bad side and derelicting your duty to that A-wing yesterday?
You prefer I wait a few days so you can see who's wrapped around your finger playing their so-called role and taking away the stuff that made the Resistance want us on board in the first place?
Deck's swamp accent came on strong when he was agitated.
It's okay, Deck, Sari said, looking at the floor. I'm the muscle. It's fine.
It ain't fine.
Sari put a big hand on Deck's shoulder.
It's fine.
Deck bobbed his head a couple of times, rebuilding his wall of laid-back confidence.
Just fine, he said. Any further orders, sir? Or can we get on with it?
If Joe was pleased that he'd won the confrontation, he didn't betray it. He just barked at them to take positions and begin the exercise. So they did. And Mattis didn't let the sentry droid see them, and Sari knocked down doors, and Lorica called out commands, and Deck dragged himself along behind Mattis, not talking much to anyone. But he was thinking. Mattis could see the turbines rotating. The weeks passed in that way. J Squadron, as they were soon called, followed Joe's orders. He put them through their paces with those horrible exercises and other ones that got them to stretch mentally and practice limited spycraft or combat. They didn't, however, get to fly. It was a sore point among most of them.
He'll let us take a fighter out when we're ready, Lorica said, whenever they would complain.
None of them wanted to get into a cockpit as badly as AG did.
I was ready before we got here, he'd counter.
Their arguments would end in a stalemate because, really, it was up to Joe. If he didn't want them flying, then they were grounded. They were, however, ordered to use the flight simulator. They'd each climb into what looked like half a giant shell. It was soft and a little viscous inside and out. The top looked like an open, four-petaled flower. The pilot sat in the middle. It was a little tight for everyone but Klimo. A small screen projected from a control panel. That was a simulation of their cockpit module.
It ain't flying, was all AG would say about it.
Mattis liked the simulation. He felt himself becoming a better, more confident pilot. He listened to Joe and Lorica as they shouted commands and did his best to react swiftly. He liked sim flying in formation with J Squadron. He liked when they all bore down on a target and destroyed it together as a team. He felt a fellowship with them then, even if the squad still felt tenuous in the non-simulated world. It was maybe their fifth time in the flight simulator when Deck ruined that feeling. They were running a scenario in which the flanking attackers would defend the lead ship as war droids fired at them from the ground of a desert planet. Green Leader, which was Lorica, would fire on the war droids. It was a tight formation attack, a scenario J Squadron had struggled with in previous sims. They tended to fly either too far apart, thus rendering themselves unable to properly defend Green Leader, or too close together, knocking one or another of them off course. This time, they were flying right. Lorica was telling them when to lay down suppressing fire so she could swoop in low and sweep the war droids. On the fourth pass, Deck broke formation and sped ahead of the rest of them. As he deployed his proton torpedoes while simultaneously gunning the war droids with his blaster cannon, he threw up so much smoke and sand that they lost him on their tracking computers. One of the Aqualish boys, the gangly one whose name was Hall, tottered his fighter and clipped Mattis's wing. It was all Mattis could do to regain control and stay in the sloppy formation in which they found themselves as they emerged from Deck's chaos cloud. Mattis hadn't realized that both Joe and Lorica were shouting at Deck, as all he heard were the sounds of simulated explosions and squawking war droids.
"What in the forest moon of Endor was that?"
Joe had his finger in Deck's face. Deck wore a huge smile.
"Yeehaw," said Deck. "We finished off those war droids and we're all safe as a landing. Mission achieved, Chief."
"Mission not achieved."
Joe was never so focused as when he was furious.
"The mission was to execute Lorica's commands. Your squadron could be dead right now because of you, Hansen."
Deck looked around at J Squadron.
"Is everyone fine?"
Only AG responded with a yep.
"Everyone's fine," Deck insisted.
"You couldn't know they would be."
Lorica threw her helmet aside and charged Deck, shoving him in the chest. He fell back into his pod.
"What was that for?"
"Stand down, Lorica," Joe said.
She was fuming. Her skin turned a deeper red.
"You didn't follow orders. Hall was knocking around formation because you threw up smoke and sand and whatever else. You do that in the field and we're dead."
"We're not dead," Deck said defensively. "I had AG on my tail and we've run this kind of scenario for real hundreds of times down in the swamp."
AG tilted his head.
"Well, to be honest, it was on speeder bikes and we were taking shots at slime crabs for dinner, but it worked out the same."
"You don't even eat dinner," Joe seethed.
"You don't know what meals I don't eat,"
AG shot back. Joe turned his attention back to Deck. "You never fly out of formation. Ever."
"Yeah, I do, Chief. I do all the time. Always have, especially when formation is slowing me down."
"That's nutsin," Joe said, leaning into the Gungan word for crazy.
"You can try egging me on like that, but you're the angry fella here, not me."
Deck all but tweaked his nose.
"I'm cool as a dead star, and all you got to show for it is you're wrong, and you sound dumb as a Gungan."
Joe got even madder.
"My best friend is a Gungan, and he's worth 100 of you and 200 of your brother."
Joe's Gungan button didn't work on Deck, but in that moment he saw one that might.
"Your brother, who I shouldn't even let in the sim, because droids aren't pilots."
"AG is a pilot,"
Deck said quietly, some of his confident swagger gone. That button worked.
"Don't worry about it," AG said to Deck.
"I said to you, Chief, that my brother is a pilot."
Deck stood nose to nose with the squad leader.
"He's a robot."
Joe was cool now. "He might make a serviceable astromech if his memory were wiped." Deck glared and AG reached out to put a hand on him. Deck shook him off. "Then he could be programmed for flight and discipline," Joe continued.
"Too bad we can't reprogram you, too." "No one is getting reprogrammed," Deck said.
his hands balled into fists, and Mattis was afraid he would take a swing at Joe.
Is he going to hit him? Asked Klimo.
Lorica pushed Deck and Joe apart. Insubordination. 50 push-ups, Deck, she said sharply. Deck just kept glowering at Joe, who liked the sound of push-ups.
All right. If Deck won't do his own push-ups, he said, everyone else will. 50 push-ups, everyone.
Deck looked at Sari, grimacing as she got into push-up position. He looked at AG, then at Mattis, his people, and he dropped to the ground.
Don't bother everyone. I do my own push-ups. You want 50? I can give you 100.
Joe shook his head.
Everyone give me 100, except Deck.
Deck, you go ahead and do whatever you want. That's what you're best at. Deck ignored that and started his 100 push-ups.
Keep at it, Joe said, looking down at them all. I'll see you in the morning.
For once, Joe did not do the exercise with everyone else. Once Joe had gone, a couple of J-Squadron members tapered off their push-ups, but Lorica reminded them that while it was Deck's fault, they did all have to follow orders.
Why can't you just do the same? She asked Deck between puffs.
Because, Deck said, panting hard himself,
that's no way to win a war. Joe is training us to win a war, she said.
No, Deck said.
Joe doesn't see us. Not really. AG is the best pilot we got, and Joe's not letting him be Green Leader. No offense.
All kinds of offense taken, Lorica said.
He's making Sari knock down walls. That ain't what Sari does. And Bands is a go-getter. Look at him. All you need to do is point him. Who would waste Bands' time by making him keep watch?
You did, Lorica reminded him.
Yeah, but that was before I knew him. That was fooling around. My point is, Joe takes away what's unique about each of us. We're for sure going to lose any battle we're in.
He doubled the pace of his push-ups, then abruptly hopped to his feet.
That's 200, he said.
He was breathing heavily and wiping the sweat from his face.
What are you at?
Lorica hopped up too.
200, she said dryly.
Fine, he said, and sauntered out. AG followed. Lorica watched the rest of them, then she left too. Five more members of J-Squadron finished in turn, leaving Klimo, Mattis, and Sari, the worst at push-ups, to complete their punishment. Klimo screamed and collapsed. In seconds, he was lightly snoring, completely exhausted by the workout. Mattis finished his set and rolled onto his side.
I'm done, he said. I hate both of them.
Sari sat down beside Mattis.
Don't hate Deck, she said. Deck likes you a lot.
He could have gotten us all killed. That's not why I came here. I prefer being alive. He doesn't care about anyone.
Sari's big eyes got bigger. She bit her lip, considering whether or not to say something.
What?
Mattis asked.
Deck needs friends who will watch his back. He doesn't take to people easily. He likes me, but...
She laughed quietly.
Everybody likes me, once they're not afraid of me.
Why would I watch his back?
She sighed deeply. It had the sound of a low motor dying down.
You know why Deck broke into General Organa's rooms that first day you were here?
Mattis shrugged.
To make some trouble?
No, Sari said. It was to get AG assigned to a bunk.
AG didn't have a bunk?
He didn't. The Resistance didn't give him one. They think he's just a droid, and anyway, they've got their hands full with more important stuff than figuring out where the recruits are supposed to lay their heads.
But AG doesn't sleep, right? He's not just a droid, but he's still a droid. Sari smiled.
He doesn't sleep, of course not. He powers down, and the brothers both prefer he do it in a bunk rather than standing in a corner like the other droids. He's got stuff, belongings, mementos from his home planet, things that remind him of his childhood with Dak. He's still a droid, yes, but he's not just a droid. Do you see?
Sari rose and headed for the door. Mattis stayed on the ground and watched her head out.
Sari,
he said. She turned and waited. He didn't know what to say. He was moved by what she had told him, how she had told him, that she had trusted him.
See you at mess, huh? He said finally.
She nodded, then turned back around and left. Mattis stayed on the floor a little longer, catching his breath. He woke Klimo, and they went to get ready for dinner. Later, Mattis made his way across the mess hall, holding his tray loaded with rations. Klimo followed him. Joe sat with some of the other squad leaders, Lorica and the Aqualish boys. At a smaller table in a remote corner, Deck, Sari, A.G., and Jamie, the slight alien girl with the mottled fur and protruding snout, laughed and ate their rations. Mattis usually sat at the end of Joe's table. There he could show his allegiance to Joe and the Resistance Command, but keep well removed from actual conversations. That night, though, he crossed the mess and sat down with Deck and the others.
You mind? He asked before sitting.
Course not. You and your Rodian are always welcome, Deck said, opening his arms. Grab a bench. Jamie is just telling us about life back on Rhaegor Mata.
As he sat, Mattis said quietly, Sari told me what you did for A.G. That's good of you. Deck waved away Mattis' praise.
We take care of each other, Deck said, then turned back to Jamie and the others. Tell us about that river you fell in. It makes you sound like a dope, and that makes me laugh.
Chapter 5. A month passed. Mattis, Deck, A.G., and Sari fell into an easy friendship, only occasionally put aside for push-ups, during which nobody liked anybody and everybody hated everything. Their friendship was only sometimes strained because of Mattis's desire to follow Joe's orders, and Joe had a lot of orders. Joe saw that Mattis was growing close with Deck and the others and rode Mattis harder for it. Mattis took every order, though. As much as he wanted to be friends with his gang, he wanted to do as Joe told him so that one day he would be the hero he dreamed of being. There was tension all across the base. The mission on which the fighter pilots had left when Mattis arrived was still active. It was taking longer than anyone had anticipated. Mattis often saw Admiral Ackbar pacing around, worriedly muttering to himself. From what Mattis could piece together from overheard whispers between Joe, Lorica, and the Ganthelian girl in J Squadron, her name was Leeson Jubin, the mission leader had sent word that the fighters could return unannounced. This was unusual for a well-orchestrated undertaking, but it meant that they were still out looking for whatever it was they were looking for. The absence of so many Resistance pilots and fighters was making everyone snippy and sloppy. What conversation didn't happen behind closed doors was terse and short-tempered. Klimo, too, was becoming a problem. His enthusiasm for their adventure and best friendship hadn't waned since they arrived. Mattis couldn't shake him. From the time Mattis woke up in the morning to the time he returned to his bunk at night, Klimo was at his heels, always underfoot despite being one step behind. He was Mattis's green shadow. The others teased him about his best friend. One night, Deck knocked gently on the door of Mattis's room before sliding it open. On the first knock, Klimo leaped from his bunk into a squat on the floor, his hands out in front of him as if he were holding a blaster on Deck, who was already inside.
Kapow, kapow!
Klimo imitated a blaster.
If I was coming to blast you, I'd have blasted you before you even landed, Deck said to Klimo, grinning.
Klimo shook his head.
No way, friend. Klimo is fast.
If you're fast at all, it's in a one-step-behind sort of way, Deck said.
Mattis was still rubbing sleep from his eyes as Deck crossed the small room and snapped on the light.
Wakey-wakey, Bands, Deck said. We're going to have some fun tonight.
Mattis dropped his head back onto his pillow. No, please. A.G. and Sari crowded into the narrow barracks and hung near the doorway.
It's nothing bad, Sari said.
Mattis covered his face with his hand.
Farming back on Dirk Teal hadn't kept him awake as much as life on the base. If it weren't bad, he said, we wouldn't have to do it in the middle of the night.
Dick is hungry, A.G. reported.
Mattis rolled onto his side and raised his eyebrows at Dick. And you can't wait until morning?
I'll starve to death if I wait till morning. You want that on your conscience?
It was no use arguing. Deck was dug in. What was the worst that could happen?
They wouldn't be kicked out for sneaking over to the mess hall and swiping a few ears of Lima's corn.
What's the mission? Mattis asked.
Deck laughed again.
Easy as pie, he said. Hubbard pie, specifically.
Earlier that week, their dinner rations had included a pie about the size of Mattis's palm. Every single man, woman, and alien in the Resistance mess that night had emitted a squeal of glee heard halfway across the galaxy.
I'm in, Mattis said.
That made everyone laugh. They'd watched for probably an hour as Mattis savored his Hubbard pie. He'd never had anything so warm and sweet.
They gotta have more, right? Deck said. It's nothing for sorry to slice into the mess. We'll just take one apiece. Or two.
One, Mattis said. He didn't want them getting carried away.
You coming, Greeny?
Deck asked Klimo.
Klimo jumped up and down. Of course he was going.
Let's sneak into the mess hall,
he yelled. Mattis warned him that he'd have to keep quiet, and a moment later, they were sneaking to the mess hall. A moment after that, Klimo followed them, one step behind. The base at night was dark and silent. A month before, there would have been activity at all hours. But with all the training and fretting over missions, when the Resistance slept, it slept hard. There were a few hours each night that all Mattis could hear was the whir and hum of sentry droids. Even the protocol droids powered down for the night. They crept, noiselessly, bunched in a group behind Deck. The only sound they heard was the light clanking of A.G.'s body. It sounded thunderous to Mattis, and he was sure that Admiral Ackbar would burst from his quarters and reprimand them all at any moment. But he didn't. What stopped them was Deck, ducking behind some transport ships. The others followed suit, unsure exactly why. It took Mattis a moment to realize that Deck was pointing to one of the main command structures. His eyes adjusted to the dim light on the building just in time to see someone scan a security card and slip inside.
Who is that?
Mattis whispered.
That was Joe, Deck said. No way, Mattis said.
Deck turned to the group.
One of you must have seen. That was Joe.
They all looked at each other. Finally, A.G. nodded.
It was, he said. I saw him too.
But whether it was because he saw Joe or because he would always back up his brother, nobody could discern. It was proof enough for Klimo, who waved and started to say something, probably,
Hello, Joe!
Quick as light speed, Deck's hand shot up and gripped Klimo's snout tight. Deck held a finger to his own lips and asked with his eyes if Klimo understood to be silent. The Rhodian nodded as best he could, and Deck slowly unwrapped his fingers from Klimo's weird mouth situation.
Why would Joe sneak around? Sari asked.
He sure ain't out for Hubbard pies, Deck said. Mess is all the way down there.
That's a communications center in there. Intragalactic, highly restricted.
Joe doesn't have clearance. Sari looked worried.
We gotta go in after him, Deck said.
Why? Asked Mattis. There's no way Joe, if it even was Joe, is up to anything he isn't supposed to be. Deck and A.G. shared a look that said, Poor Mattis.
What? What am I missing?
Always suspect the person you least suspect.
Of what? And why? There was every chance Deck was making it all up as he was going along, but he gave no indication. He said,
Of everything. There's always a reason they're trying to throw you off their scent. Number two lesson after, if you're in trouble, throw the nearest large object at the problem, is never, ever completely trust someone you can completely trust.
Wait, does that mean that because you can trust me, you can't trust me?
Deck and A.G. shared that poor Mattis look again.
I can get us in, Sari said, and started off for the communications center door.
Staring down the swipe pad door lock and cracking her considerable knuckles, the others followed.
I have a good feeling about this, Clemo nervously whisper yelled in Mattis's ear.
Mattis shushed Clemo, and then Deck and A.G. shushed Mattis. Sorry, shushed them all. She entered a code that slid the door lock's exterior to the side and into the programming interface.
Are you bypassing the...
AG-90 started to ask.
Rerouting it.
Wow. You think you can crack the...
I know I can.
You could enter a...
AG started again.
Yeah.
Sorry, cut him off.
If I had all night and a myrrh rabbit's foot.
Sure, AG conceded. But have you thought of a digital scrape that jumpjacks the main connect?
Sari's eyes narrowed.
Maybe that would have worked too, she said coolly as the door unlocked. Didn't need it, though.
The door slid open to reveal a long corridor lined with rooms, all dark except the last one, which emitted a faint light. Whether it was Joe or not, someone was in there, off hours, using the Intragalactic Communications Center.
Sneak race you, bro,
AG Whisper yelled as he quickly tiptoed in. Deck frowned and said as loud as he could whisper,
AG, get back here. Sorry, get that door shut again. And Greeny, no matter what you do, don't yell.
Lorca!
Clemo cried. Fortunately, his shout covered the sound of the door sliding closed, with A.G. still on the other side of it. Lorica, wearing military pajamas, was heading their way.
Lorica?
Sari said quietly as the other girl approached them.
What are you even doing out here?
Are you sleepwalking? Mattis asked, thinking quickly. Sometimes Clemo sleepwalks. We were just getting him out of sleepwalking.
Clemo squeezed his round black eyes shut and stretched his arms out in front of him.
I was sleepwalking,
he said too loudly.
Can you whisper?
Mattis asked.
I am whispering,
Clemo cried.
Did you guys see Joe?
Lorica asked. She showed no interest in either their lies or reasons for being out in the middle of the night.
Joe Gergerod?
Mattis played dumb. Lorica fixed him with a caustic stare.
Ha! Yes, I mean, yes, of course that's who you mean, but no, we haven't seen him.
An impatient silence hung over the group.
Deck?
Lore?
Don't call me that.
Ms. Damaris? Pardon me, Deck continued. What's your boyfriend Joe gonna do when he finds you out wandering the base at this hour?
He's not my boyfriend, Lorica told him and turned to the security doors. She looked at the swipe pad. She didn't have a security card any more than the rest of them did. Mattis couldn't help feeling a softness and sensitivity whenever Lorica was around, despite her obvious dislike of him. That was the only way he could explain what he said next.
It's hard here.
The others all looked at him as if he'd dropped a dead Dianoga in the middle of the conversation.
What did you say?
Lorica asked.
Bands, take a break, Deck said pleasantly. But Mattis didn't want a break.
Calmness had overcome him when Lorica arrived, which was not how he ought to have felt. As was so often the case when he was in her presence, he felt his heart open up and his eyes get watery. Not from upset or ire, but just from... he didn't know what.
Was it the Force, Mattis wondered? Was Lorica Force-sensitive? And was she opening his mind and heart to its ways?
He trusted that was the case, so he repeated himself. It's hard here. Another odd silence, until Lorica said, It is. It's really difficult.
The others didn't look at her, too afraid to break whatever spell was currently over them. But Mattis did.
Sometimes I don't think I can handle it, he told her. Honestly, you and Joe, you guys are so tough, so disciplined. You're meant for this. Sometimes I don't think I know anything but cutting Hemel, and that's no help against the First Order.
I don't always feel meant for it, Lorica said.
When she spoke, it seemed to Mattis as if she and he were the only people on the base, maybe on the whole planet. But then Deck spoke up, too. His voice was gentler than Mattis had ever heard it before.
Me too, he said. I want to do this right, you know. I want to be as much help to the fight as I can be, but
but the ways don't always make sense. Sari nodded and mumbled in agreement.
I have things to offer, she said, but I don't know what's the right way.
Klemo slapped Mattis on the back and said,
I am glad they're all my friends. It helps me here.
All five of them stood in a loose circle, mostly looking at the ground, but Lorica and Mattis watched each other. She wore a puzzled look as if she were doing a really hard math problem in her head. We can make it better for each other, she said to the group, but she was really speaking to Mattis. Mattis wore a puzzled look, too, as if he were doing an easy math problem, but one that was still beyond him. We can work together, I think, to make... She stopped speaking as the door slid open. A.G. bounded out, clanking his limbs against his torso in his excitement and rush to get out of the comm center.
Gang! A.G. hollered. You gotta hear... Hey!
He stopped short when he saw Lorica. She scowled first at Mattis, then at Deck and A.G. Her teeth were bared.
You Keter frig,
she seethed. Mattis didn't know what that meant, but could tell it was a nasty Zeltron epithet. She shoved Deck. He fell backward into A.G., and they both rattled to the ground.
You tricked me, she said. You used me because you were sneaking around in there. You made me...
She couldn't finish the sentence. She started away, then turned back to face Mattis. He gasped for air. He hadn't used her. He wasn't just saying those things to distract her from discovering their troublemaking. He'd really felt them, felt his heart and mind open up. He'd spoken honestly. It hurt him that she felt tricked, because he knew she'd been honest too. But it didn't matter. There was nothing he could say.
Lorica swung a swift fist in his direction, but in the moment before it made contact, she changed her mind, opened her palm and lowered it so she gave him a hard cuff in the chest instead, grunting as she did.
The air went out of Mattis's lungs and he doubled over. When he looked up again, Lorica was storming off in the direction of her barracks. Sari helped Deck and AG-90 to their feet. Klemo patted Mattis on the back.
You okay, friend?
He asked. Mattis shook his head. He wasn't okay. The security door slid open again. What else could possibly go wrong? Joe Gergerod stepped out of the comms center and directly into their group. His face fell.
You screw-ups, he sneered. You were spying on me.
Technically, only AG was spying on you, Deck said unhelpfully. Joe swiveled his head to look at the droid, and AG had to take a step back. So sharp was their squad leader's glare.
I didn't, AG started, but it didn't matter.
Joe had turned a deep red. A vein in his neck throbbed like a snake under a tarp. Mattis was too afraid, not to mention too tired, too embarrassed and too upset about Lorica to do much of anything. If Deck and AG wanted to wriggle out of this one, they were on their own. And Mattis believed they'd do it. Deck always got away with everything. Joe might get mad, but there was little he could do to Deck if he wasn't allowed to boot him from the resistance altogether. Or maybe Mattis was wrong. Joe grabbed AG by the arm and pulled the droid close to him.
Come with me, he said.
Careful, Chief, that arm's been around. It'll come right off in your hand, AG complained.
Joe reached into his pocket for a comm link and said, Security droids report to Comm Center 4. Some recruits need an escort back to their bunks.
You'll want to let go of my brother, Deck said evenly.
I got this, Deck, AG said. Joe, we need to talk about what happened in there.
No, we do not, Joe said. His voice was hard. His teeth were clenched.
Take your dashing hands off, Deck said with a mean smile.
Sari took a step forward to help AG. Joe warned her off with a look, but it didn't work. She took another step. Joe was about to say something else, something certainly menacing, but the sentry droids arrived and did his talking for him. Mattis hadn't even heard them hum up to the group. They spoke in unison.
Return to your barracks!
What are you doing? Mattis asked. He choked on the words, and no one heard him. He cleared his throat and said again,
What are you doing with AG, Joe?
Joe finally noticed Mattis, but all he did was echo the droids. Return to your barracks. He snorted and dragged AG away from them. The sentry droids circled in front of Joe and AG, cutting off the rest of the group.
You let my brother loose, Joe, or I'm gonna...
I'll...
I will throw one of these droids at you.
Mattis didn't know what to do. He felt lightheaded, like all of space was zooming in on him.
Joe, he said, where are you taking AG?
AG struggled against Joe's grip, but Joe didn't relent.
I'm going to wipe this droid, he said. Make a soldier out of him, since I can't make one of the rest of you. Maybe then you'll learn something.
And with that, Joe turned and dragged AG along with him, heading toward the droid maintenance site. Deck roared and charged after them. One of the sentries ejected a small electro prod from its chassis. As Deck tried to bust through the droids, it pulsed him with a quick shock. Deck was thrown back. All Mattis remembered after that was flailing after Deck as he took another run for his brother. The sound of another pulse, and then darkness.
Chapter 6.
Mattis woke up slowly. Klimo's hot breath filled Mattis's nose, and the bumps of his skin grazed Mattis's face. The Rodian was watching him very closely, which was only slightly more unnerving than not remembering how he'd gotten back to his bunk.
Oh, good, you're awake! Klimo shouted. Now go to sleep. We are going to be in so much trouble tomorrow. You'll need your sleep. Joe will make us do, oh, so many push-ups. My arms will probably fall off. Too bad about those Hubbard pies, but oh well. Good night.
He hopped down and into his bunk. Mattis lowered himself to the ground slowly to see if everything still worked. It did, but everything was sore. He put his boots on gingerly.
Best friend,
Klimo murmured from under his covers.
I can't let him wipe AG.
Mattis realized his conviction as he said it.
What can we do? There's a sentry outside our door. Joe's our squad leader, and...
Klimo trailed off.
And?
Mattis pushed.
We're just us,
Klimo sighed.
I want to save him, too. AG's funny and nice to me, but I'm just me and you're just you. What can we do?
Mattis had never thought of himself as just anyone. He was a hero. His parents were heroes. He'd taught kids at the orphan farm to stand up to bullies. He'd stood up to bullies himself. He wasn't a just. He thought of the time he'd beaten Fick on Dirk Teal. He showed that bully a... Wait. Mattis realized that he hadn't beaten Fick. He hadn't shown that bully anything. He had escaped Fick. He'd bravely run away. He'd looked danger in the eye a few times and hadn't flinched, but neither had danger.
Well, this time, he was going to stand up. This was for AG.
I'll show you what we can do, just us, Mattis answered Klimo. Come on. Mattis opened the door and found himself face to face with a sentry droid. His skin itched, remembering the shock he'd gotten, however long before that had happened.
Please return to your quarters,
the droid said in a monotone, opening the compartment that held the electroprod. Klimo whimpered and tugged at Mattis's sleeve.
We're just us.
Please return to your quarters, the droid repeated.
Mattis thought of AG speaking in a monotone like that. AG in droid face with no alternative.
No, Mattis thought. No Dashin way.
He was thinking like Deck, which was good because Deck could have talked his way past the droid and that's what Mattis needed to do.
Hey, droid, Mattis said, drawling a very little bit.
He realized what Deck might have done, and he was going to give it a try.
Your directive was to, what, see us to our quarters? Keep us here?
Affirmative. The droid didn't sound suspicious of Mattis, but only because suspicion was outside of its programming.
Well, you did it. We were kept here for, I don't know how long, because I got zapped. Klimo? How long have we been kept here?
13 epicycles, best friend.
Mattis didn't know how long that was because Klimo never stopped using Rodian measures of time, but it didn't matter.
So, you have achieved your directive, Mattis said, clapping his hands onto the droid's shoulders like he was congratulating it.
Would you like a new directive? I've got one for you. Here it is. Escort us to droid maintenance.
Right. Dashing. Now.
Klimo smiled as well as a Rodian could. Mattis felt pretty good about himself until the droid responded,
Negative.
What?
Mattis cried. The directive is incomplete.
The directive is to keep you here until morning. It is not morning. Directive incomplete. Return to your quarters or be returned to your quarters. Please comply. Mattis commanded the version of Deck that had set up camp in his brain to think of something else. He was about ready to throw Klimo at the robot.
I wish we could amend the directive, Klimo said with a sigh, accidentally saving the day.
Klimo, that's it. Joe may have given the droid its directive, but although he was squad leader, Joe didn't hold official technical rank over his squad, not as far as ordering droids was concerned. They were all cadets, and though the higher-ups might trust Joe more, and though the squad was supposed to follow his orders, to an automaton, all cadets were ranked equally, including Mattis. Amend directive, Mattis commanded in a strong voice. Please enter amended directive. Keep us in our quarters until... What do you think, Klimo? Mattis asked.
10 micro-epicycles from now.
In basic, Klimo?
30 seconds, best friend.
30 seconds, then, Mattis ordered the robot. Exactly 30 seconds later, the droid retracted the electroprod and scooted away to engage in its automatic directives. Mattis and Klimo snuck through the corridors toward droid maintenance. It felt like a mission. Mattis and Klimo watched each other's backs, and their assignment was to avoid detection and save an ally. Klimo's antennae twitched, and he pushed Mattis back into the shadow.
Someone's coming!
He didn't quite manage to whisper, but it was closer than usual.
Klimo?
Sari popped her head around the corner. Mattis shushed Klimo before he could yell. He waved Sari over. Sari asked if he was feeling all right.
You took quite a shock, she said.
He shrugged. She continued.
Joe posted sentry droids at all our doors. How did you get past yours?
Amended its orders. Klimo's idea, Mattis said. Klimo blushed a pale blue.
Sari beamed. Good one. I came up with an override code. I'll have to show you sometime.
Those will both work, but in a pinch you can always pour a cup of water on its head, Deck said, appearing out of nowhere.
Sentries can take the cold vacuum of space, but a cup of water?
No.
They tried them on Quest. Didn't last 2 seconds. Humidity in the air took them right out. Couldn't even use them for parts.
Now come on. Let's go get my brother.
They went in a small clutch, pausing at each forbidden door while Sari sliced them through. Deck got increasingly anxious each time. As Sari crouched and fiddled with the final security lock, Mattis told Deck, try to stay... He was going to say calm, but looking at Deck's rage-streaked face, Mattis didn't think that would be possible.
Don't punch Joe, he said instead. No promises.
The door to the droid maintenance site slid open and the four of them crowded through the doorway. It was dark in there. A few sparks flew in a shadowy corner, illuminating the room for moments at a time. Soft bleeps and bloops of either droids working or droids being worked on filled the air. The room had the aspect of a repair shop crossed with a mortuary. Metal tables like slabs cluttered with robot parts and maintenance tools filled the room.
So strewn with detritus was the sight that Mattis didn't see the G2 repair droid standing on a high chair, tinkering away on a prone chassis.
They apparently took the G2 by surprise as well.
Oh, hello! It yelled, its eyes lighting up and its servos whirring. It's you! Who are you? I am G2PI. I was just working. You don't work here, do you? I'd recognize you.
We don't, Mattis said, scanning the room. We're looking for a droid, Deck told G2PI.
PI swiveled his head in a circle, then steadied it with his hands.
Woo! Dizzying. Well, he said, not me, I expect, and I don't know anyone here, but I'd love to. Who are you again? This is a restricted area.
Anybody have a cup of water? Deck asked. Sari stepped forward, and for a second, Mattis thought she was going to punch or reprogram the G2. But there were more than two ways to slice a droid.
I'm sorry, she said. And this is Klimo. I don't think you two have met.
Klimo leaped forward with his arms outstretched.
Hello,
he cried.
Hello,
PI echoed.
Your work looks very interesting,
Klimo started in.
Oh, it is,
the repair droid said, excited that anyone would want to talk about his boring, boring efforts. Klimo's natural enthusiasm and the G2 model's innate gabbiness would serve as a perfect distraction for the rest of them to quickly search the overcrowded maintenance site. They spread out, but they didn't have to go far. Behind a row of disused robot pieces, Mattis, then Deck, then Sari, nearly stumbled on Joe and Lorica. Joe growled an indecipherable order to another G2 unit. Lorica said something, but her words were drowned out by the G2's firing up an impact wrench. The G2's eyes glowed, illuminating its workspace and revealing AG-90. AG was face down on a slab. He was completely powered down. Mattis had never seen something so animated, so resounding with the stuff of life, rendered so completely defunct. It was jarring. There wasn't even a word for the way AG's shell seemed. It was as if it had never contained spirit at all.
No!
Deck pounced on Joe, who deflected Deck's blow at the last moment. They both went to the ground, crashing through the junk piled up on the floor. While they scrapped, Mattis and Sari hurried to AG's side.
Turn him back on,
Mattis demanded, not sure if he was talking to the G2 droid or Lorica.
What did you do?
We're too late,
Sari sobbed. Lorica shook her head. Was she telling Mattis that they still had time, or was she just disappointed in him? And turned to join the fray with Deck and Joe. She pulled Deck off, but he kicked, thumping Joe square in the chest. Joe went back down, and Lorica whirled with Deck, tossing him into another pile of debris.
Sari, help him,
Mattis said, almost offhandedly. He braced the repair droid, grabbing it by its shoulder joints.
Stop whatever you're doing,
he ordered. The G2's eye lights blinked out. This one was not garrulous and chummy like the one they'd left with Klimo. It happened sometimes, a droid that took too much pleasure in taking apart its fellow droids. Mattis could tell at once that this G2 was one of those.
I have my orders,
the G2 said, jerking its mechanical hand back at Joe.
Ignore your orders.
Mattis felt something. The Force?
Swell inside him.
He wouldn't allow harm to come to his friend.
I would,
the G2 sneered,
but the current is already running.
It held up a pair of cables that were wired to AG's insides. The other ends disappeared into a control panel in the room's wall. The G2 droid made burbling noises that were meant to emulate a cackle.
Deck!
Mattis called, desperate, not knowing what to do. Deck stopped struggling against Lorica.
It's already happening,
Mattis told him.
There's no way to shut it down.
Deck roared again as something primal erupted within him.
Sorry, he shouted. Get them away from me!
Sorry grabbed Lorica, picking her up in a hug. Lorica kicked and wriggled to free herself, swearing in both Basic and Zeltron as if that would help. Deck looked around desperately. Finally, his eyes fell on a corner of the room toward the ceiling. The incident power switch off, a hard-to-reach toggle placed in every command room in case of emergency. Every building, every light, every computer would be shut down. It was meant to be used only in a K-10 base abandonment scenario.
Heck with it, Deck said.
He bolted for the switch off, and Joe ran to intercept him. If Joe was successful, AG's memory would be wiped. Mattis's first friend on the base, Deck's brother, would be gone. But if Deck shut down the base, they would surely be expelled from the resistance, not to mention the other trouble they might cause. What if they were attacked? Any base shields would be gone if Deck turned off the power. Those moral calculations took place in Mattis's head in a split second, and he decided there was no decision to make at all. As Joe lunged for the sprinting Deck, Mattis leaped out at Joe and tackled him to the ground. He was only successful because he had surprise on his side. Mattis could never have taken Joe down in a fair fight, but there was nothing fair about any of this. Deck tore for the corner. Sari, seeing how high the toggle was, tossed Lorica aside and fell into step behind Deck. As they reached the corner, Sari lowered her hands like a platform. Deck stepped on, Sari raised him up, and he punched the toggle. The result was immediate. The lights in the maintenance site blinked out, plunging them all into darkness. The only light came from the eyes of the various droids that surrounded them. All over the base, they heard lights, computers, generators, and machinery shutting down or grinding to an unintended halt. Voices came next. There were muffled shouts from the corridors and echoes of people calling out in confusion across the base. In the dark, Deck scrambled to AG's side, knocking over tools and parts of other droids. He switched his brother back on and turned him over. A whirring noise, followed by a thick clanking, filled the dark. In the shine of the maintenance droid's eye lights, AG sat up. Had they succeeded? Had they cut the power in time? They waited. One tense, silent moment ticked by, then another.
AG just sat on the slab table. He was still. He was quiet. Deck whispered,
AG? Brother?
AG swiveled his head stiffly. In the powerless silence, they could hear the lenses in his eyes dilate. The G2 that had been servicing AG pointed at each of them.
You're all going to be in a great deal of tr-
AG shoved the droid off its high stool. AG clicked the lens of his right eye shut and back open, winking. He held his left hand over his right and wiggled his thumb. Deck sighed in relief.
AG-90, you had me worried,
Deck exclaimed, slapping his brother's back. AG replied with a series of beeps and whistles. He sounded like an R2 unit. Everyone was completely surprised, but none more than AG himself. He pointed at Joe and chirped angrily.
You altered his language settings?
Deck demanded.
Worry about yourselves. You really are in trouble, Joe began. All of you. This isn't some sort of...
Mattis didn't know why Joe stopped talking until he heard what Joe must have.
Incoming. An attack? Now?
J-Squadron may have doomed them all.
I got AG,
Sari said, hoisting the droid over her shoulder. She was first out of the maintenance center with the others right behind. When they got outside, they realized they weren't in danger, just trouble. So much trouble. Ships were incoming, but it wasn't an attack. It was the X-Wing squadron back from its extended mission. The pilots were coming in for a landing on a tarmac that was pitch black. Mattis, Deck, Sari, AG, Klimo, Lorica, and Joe huddled outside the command center watching the red and white lights of the X-Wings veer dangerously close to each other, their pilots undoubtedly trying to gauge where the night sky ended and the landing strip began. Their Astromech's navicomputers couldn't help them. The resistance base was a dead zone when it came to technology. The lead X-Wing swooped down at too high a speed, then abruptly pulled up the tail of the ship, smashing over some ground equipment. The other fighters followed suit, heading back into the sky. They'd find a way to land, Mattis was sure. They had to. They were expert flyers, the best of the best. They'd figure it out. Mattis believed everything would be okay, hoped the pilots would know what to do, but Joe took action. He called each of their names and threw them emergency flares. The ground crew passed them out with determination and speed. Everyone on the base worked together to guide the pilots to the ground safely. Mattis was determined to help. He stole only one look at Joe, whose expression reinforced what Mattis knew to be true. Once everyone was safely back on base and the power was restored, Mattis and his friends would face punishment for what they'd done.
Chapter 7 Klimo was bouncing so fast that he shook the entire bench. Mattis, Deck, and Sari sat with him, and his energy felt like an insistent, impatient pulse. Like a tribal Ewok drumbeat, heralding some terrible event. That isn't much of an exaggeration, Mattis thought. A terrible event was both behind and ahead of them, the former of their own doing and the latter at the hands of Admiral Ackbar. The resistance leader was shaking with frustration. The whole room seemed to be minutely convulsing with the pent-up energy they were each sending off. Even Lorica didn't know what to do with her hands. She fidgeted as if sending signals, then finally put them in her pockets. Standing between her and AG, Joe stared coolly ahead, tapping his foot to some unheard rhythm. It hadn't taken the resistance leadership long to discover who had activated the incident power switch-off. The group had been immediately separated and held in different rooms that felt like prison cells. It seemed as if they were being quarantined to keep them from agreeing on a reasonable story, but to Mattis, the most reasonable story was the truth. AG had seen Joe do something he wasn't supposed to do in that communications center, so Joe had tried to wipe AG's memory. Joe could pretend all he wanted that he was attempting to make AG a better soldier. The truth was, Joe was covering something up. Unfortunately, AG hadn't yet been able to tell them what he'd witnessed. The commanders who'd spoken, sternly, with each of them, didn't seem to care what Joe had done, only that a calamitous breaking of the rules had transpired. They'd told Mattis to leave Joe Jerjerod to Ackbar, per the Admiral's orders. Mattis accepted that, but he hadn't yet seen Admiral Ackbar confront Joe about breaking into the communications center. Mattis was only seeing Admiral Ackbar now, as he yelled at them all. It didn't seem like the appropriate time or place for AG to catch them up.
You could have killed an entire squadron of fighters,
Admiral Akbar shouted, throwing his hands in the air in exasperation. None of them spoke.
You got lucky, Akbar continued. Due to quick thinking, there wasn't much damage and, thank the Force, no loss of life. But that does not mean there won't be consequences. There will be consequences.
He banged on the table.
I'm sending you away, he said more softly.
Mattis felt like he had been struck. They were being kicked out of the resistance. He'd finally found a home, and he was being expelled from it. He felt like the floor had disappeared under him, like he was free-falling. He couldn't catch his breath. Stars appeared in the periphery of his vision. Dak's hand on his shoulder brought him back to land. The stars fell away, and the room was clear and quiet again. Each of them looked gut-punched. The room had an airless quality. Every sound was muted. Admiral Akbar cocked his head at Mattis like he was an oddity.
Mattis? You were breathing funny, son.
Mattis looked up at Admiral Akbar, his hero. He nodded because he was afraid that if he tried to speak, he would cry.
This is a punishment, he said. But it's still a mission. Make no mistake about that. I'm sending you to Vodrin.
A mission? Vodrin? They weren't being kicked out? Mattis couldn't help smiling in relief. Admiral Akbar shook his head.
No. No smiles, he said. Vodrin is a terrible place. It's murky. It's dank. It was the stronghold of Hara the Hutt. She and her collection of scum and troublemakers abandoned Vodrin during an Imperial incursion. And as far as we know, the settlements were reduced to rubble by the Empire years ago. The swamp has taken back most of the planet.
Admiral Akbar pushed some buttons on his console, and a hollow map was projected above them.
It's fetid and unfit for civilized life. It's bogs and muck. So, no smiles.
He twiddled some dials on his console, and image after image of buildings turned to wreckage appeared. What remained of them was choked with black and green overgrowth. Mattis felt like he could smell the planet's wretched stench from the images alone.
The rest of J-Squad will be disbanded and incorporated into other units. You are going to Vodrin, and you're going to scrounge for usable weaponry, vehicles, and parts. Anything that might be useful to the Resistance. You'll stay there for as long as it takes. While you're there, maybe you can learn to work together as a team. Maybe you can prove yourselves useful to and worthy of the Resistance. I do believe in all of you. But hear me clearly. You all have a lot of trouble to dig yourselves out of. Grab your shovels. You're going to need them.
Chapter 8. An ancient cargo ship, too cavernous for its load of 2 short-range transports and 7 young Resistance recruits, took them to the Cyclada Cluster. Even the black space around those planets felt filthy to Mattis. They could see Vodrin through their viewports. A weak green light glowed through a murky fog of burnt, toast-colored cloud cover. They boarded the 2 short-range transports, Mattis, Deck, and Klimo in one, Joe, Lorica, Sari, and A.G. in the other. It didn't escape anyone's notice that Joe kept A.G. close to him and sequestered from the rest of them. Deck seemed to be biding his time for a confrontation. The transports carried them to Vodrin, the cargo ship growing small in the distance. At a certain point, it would leave the cluster and return to the Resistance base. It would return periodically so J-Squadron could retrieve supplies, but they were otherwise alone. They'd be making camp in the muck of Vodrin, pitching tents and attempting to build fires in the fetid swamplands. As bad as it was, Mattis was excited for one aspect of the detail. Speeder bikes. There was too much marsh to go very far on foot, so they'd been issued some extremely used speeders. Mattis didn't care about the dings or dents or sputtering engines. Mattis's favorite training exercise had been on those speeders. No matter how lousy of a detail it was supposed to be, he was going to get to open up a speeder bike's throttle to see how fast he could go. Each bike had a detector strapped to it to locate inorganic objects in the swamp or in the brush that had overtaken the buildings. Deck landed his transport on nearly solid land. The ship sank slightly into the ground. They sat down in distant sight of what used to be Hara the Hutt's stronghold. They were meant to sweep the intervening landscape day by day, scavenging for usable gear. They would load whatever they found onto the transports and take it all to the stronghold. The Resistance would send a larger ship there to transfer the salvage junk off-planet. But that was days, maybe weeks away. For the time being, that mud-sunk quagmire was their home. Deck stepped off the transport ship, his boots sinking into the sludge. "Swamp, sweet swamp," he said, grinning. Lorica, deboarding the other transport, glared at him. Deck called over.
"It really is like coming home, ain't it?"
A.G. nodded and whistled. Mattis didn't think they were funny.
"You're not funny," he said.
Deck sloughed through some more mud.
"We're not being funny. This isn't far from our home planet, and Quess looks a lot like this. Only, on Quess, there's more domiciles sticking out of the mud."
A.G. joined them in the muck.
"And, you know, people,"
Deck continued, moving in closer to A.G.
"It is like home. Taste that air,"
Klimo yelled. Deck told A.G., "We gotta talk." A.G. chirruped cryptically. Deck shook his head, lost.
"Anybody understand this beeping droid language?" Deck asked the group.
Joe was on them immediately. He hovered on his speeder bike.
"I do. Now form a line."
Joe ordered them to spend the day scavenging in one direction with several meters between them. They would encounter grasping, overgrown plant life. He warned them to be wary of Dianogas. The one-eyed cephalopods were indigenous to Vodrin and probably hungry. Joe didn't want any of his charges being eaten. It would reflect poorly on him.
"Nice to know you care,"
Lorica said. Mattis was surprised to hear her snap back. She must be really angry about being there. They spread out as ordered and began cruising over the marshes. Klimo cheered. He loved the speeder bike drills even more than Mattis did. Sorry,